Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers, and I linger on the shore, and the individual withers, and the world is more and more. Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers, and he hears a laden breast, full of sad experience, moving toward the stillness of his rest. Hark, my merry comrades call me, sounding on the bugle horn, they to whom my foolish passion were a target for their scorn. Not in vain the distance beacons, forward, forward let us range, let the great world spin forever down the ringing grooves of change. So there's a fundamental melancholy wisdom in this. After he sings the praises, he apostrophizes the idea of a parliament of man, a world compassed in universal law, realizes that change generally leads you downward, and the conceit that we can start the world anew, that through the exercise of compulsion, we can fundamentally alter man's nature, that's the sort of thing that doesn't survive as wisdom supplants mere experience. Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. And one of the more unfortunate pieces of wisdom here is that we're not going to see human nature reformed through the exercise of temporal force. Human nature can only be reformed, quite frankly, by the being who holds the patent on human nature. And that's something that is within the realm of the eternities, not within the realm of temporal politics. John from Winnipeg, Canada, is joining us. John, how are you this evening?
Hey, William. Well, I'm doing pretty good. It's another glorious, beautiful day for battling evil, as it is in these troubling times. But you compelled me to call. I echo many of the sentiments you had regarding the Mel Gibson issue, but I felt that it makes me wonder a few things. So many of these stations, just about all of them, have been condemning him over and over again for, what is it, almost 2 weeks. He hasn't got an opportunity to defend himself. And, you know, as you might be aware, hopefully you are to some degree, there are over 38 women that have been gang raped by KBR. These are American women.
Mm-hmm.
And,
good point. Good
and some of them have been beaten severely. Now, so we can assume that many victims have been murdered this way because, you know, they didn't get a chance to escape. And where's the expression for care of women's rights on those fronts? You know, they're just completely absent. And I think, you know, they're trying to take advantage of the situation that, as you say, you know, they want to get back at Mel, and this is an opportunity for them to do so. Even though his wife hasn't been vicious against him and is trying to help him through these difficult times, and maybe he does drink too much, but it's their personal, private feud, and it shouldn't be trumping women being gang raped or even the wars and everything else. But another reason I called is, I'm sure you're aware, William, of Alex Jones. You've heard him speak a few times, I'm sure.
Yes, I have.
On Friday, I had a caller that called up and said, Alex, I believe in everything you say, and I'm hoping you'll run for mayor or governor because you're for sure going to win. Will you do it? And his response was, no, because the elections are rigged, and even if, as Ron Paul has told us, if Ron Paul won the presidency, he wouldn't be able to change this corrupt system either because he's a constitutionalist, and he wouldn't be able to fix it either. So it's just, like, I like to throw this whole game out the window. I think we got to get back to principles instead of ideologues. Like, what side of the fence are you on? Because so many of these label systems seem to have fallen apart from my perspective. You know, many people, unfortunately, or maybe it's not unfortunate, but a lot of people call Obama a socialist. And boy, oh boy, you know, he put BP in charge of policing American beaches, threatened 5-year prison terms and $40,000 fines. That doesn't sound too good. He's blindly given Paulson an exit from his criminal frauds, of which they've, as you're aware, have admitted to, in part, the same crime of which the American suckers bailed Goldman Sachs out for. You know, it's the same thing. They had fraudulent mortgage securities, credit default swaps. They said we're AAA, scammed the
investors. What you're talking about is corporatism rather than socialism. You're talking about corporatism.
Where are these people? Like, you know, I don't want to get insulted, but, like, I figure we got to be men and women of our community, never mind what club we're from. It seems like it's almost an insecurity in some ways, but maybe not totally. You know,
John, can I interject here and suggest something? I think what you're talking about is the idea of taking power out of the system rather than trying to mobilize power within the system to change it.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate description?
Well, or just playing the game differently. Like instead of going, well, what side are you on? I'm on the justice side. We have to form conclusions with the facts, and Paulson's guilty of treason for defrauding us of trillions. You know, with healthcare, although it's the problem with healthcare, I think is nobody's got the time or the patience to understand the issues, and if we do, it takes a lot of time to talk about it. But there was a great example, I think, that can be wrapped in really quickly. The GAO had put out a report. Hopefully, we haven't talked about this before, but the GAO put out a report to the White House for Obama and said, listen, we can save $20 billion because right now we're guaranteeing student loans through private banking services. And if we just simply issue those checks through the Education Department, of which they already have presses there, apparently, and the staff, you wouldn't even have to hire anybody new, and we can just turn on these machines that are there, we'll save $20 billion because these guaranteed loans, the banks take no risk on, and they pocket all that money for themselves. Obama's response was, that's a no-brainer. Hey, I just saved America $20 billion. Thank you very much. And if you're not aware, he was advised by the elitists or the globalists or whoever you want to call these fellows. Scott Brown was named as the perpetrator, but I really doubt that. But they threw the whole premise out, because if you did that, people would say the same thing about a whole bunch of other issues. You know, they say Obama's a socialist with Medicare, but he's guaranteeing payments to private corporations on insurance payments. And socialism
is corporate socialism rather than the more familiar variety.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the default. That's the way socialism always operates in practice, is through an entrenched oligarchy, a nomenclature, if you will. But you're not talking about somebody who's a Leninist. You're talking about somebody who's more like Mussolini. Anyhow, John, did you want to hang for the break, or are you done?
Oh, please, yeah.
Okay, well, John will be back with us on the other side of the break. This is Will Grigg, Public Autonomy Radio, 866-986-6397 is our call-in number. We'll be back with John for a little bit after this.
To our host, author, lecturer, and investigative journalist, William Norman Grigg.
Now, on the general subject of the relative weight that the media gives to outrages and scandals, John from Winnipeg pointed out that pretty much the entire mood-altering or opinion-forming apparatus in the United States, North America really, has been dilating on the alleged wickedness of Mel Gibson for weeks. Now, it's literally been an Orwellian 2 minutes hate with Mel Gibson in the role of the, not merely the heartless cad, the womanizer, the adulterous husband, but somebody who is completely unfit for civilized life. As a matter of fact, today, the local fish wrap birdcage liner from Boise, the Idaho Statesman, had an abominable editorial cartoon. It's like something out of Soviet propaganda, depicting this barbarous figure, overweight and balding, in a wife-beater T-shirt being filled with concrete that was being pumped down his gullet by a truck bearing the British Petroleum logo. And, of course, inscribed on the T-shirt was Mel Gibson. And only by the inscription could you recognize that they're talking about Mel Gibson. The characters didn't look anything like Mel Gibson. Just looked like your standard issue beer-swilling vulgarian. But the caption says something to the effect of, well, they still can't plug the leak. And, of course, the standard media and the deuterocanonical media, if you will, that is to say that part of the blogosphere that takes its cues slavishly from the state of line media, have been execrating Mel Gibson on the basis of very dubious allegations of criminal conduct toward the mother of his illegitimate child and his one-time paramour. He's been accused of physical violence, domestic abuse, things of that sort. The whole thing just reeks of blackmail to me. And there's, I think, a compelling case that will be made that she deliberately set a trap for him so as to try to extort money from him. That's the claim he's making, or that his camp is making. I think that's plausible. But John brought up the fact that you have these 38 victims of rape who've been employed by KBR, which is a U.S. government corporate interest that's been involved in military contracting overseas, all the way back to the occupation of Bosnia and Kosovo, and, of course, through Afghanistan and Iraq and elsewhere. But here's another really good illustration of skewed priorities. How often In the buildup to the Iraq War, did we hear anything about the fact that hundreds of thousands of people were dying in Iraq from disease and starvation and malnutrition as a result of the U.S.-imposed and U.N.-approved embargo of that country? We never heard about that, except for the one instance in which Madame Albright, the Commissarina for External Affairs, Madeleine Albright, a lovely, lovely person in every way that is possible. She is a horrible human being. She looks like something that would jump out of the cake at a warthog's bachelor party, but her ugliness is much, much deeper than that. She said, when asked about the 500,000 children who died as a result of the embargo, she said, well, this is a tough choice, but the price we think is worth it. We never hear much about that. They suffered the equivalent of a 9/11 every day for at least 5 years. We never hear about that. But we know chapter and verse about the allegations against Mel Gibson. John, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry to have over-talked to you for such length. Anyhow,
no.
I would assume that you probably have more to say in this vein.
Oh, no, well, what you said was beautiful. It's incredible. It's almost like, there are so many atrocities that are transpiring, and these corporate heads have never expressed care ever, and now they get to express this absent human emotion. And all these TV junkies get to feel high and mighty that, oh, yeah, we're defending women's rights. We don't care about, anybody suffering these indiscriminate targetings with white phosphorus and Gaza, per se, and all these other things, because they're largely not even aware, likely. But, yeah, they're undermining us. Like, I don't know, man. Fairly bright. You don't have to be that bright to figure this stuff out and go, we're being undermined here. We're being robbed. We're being raped. We're being, they stole all our cash, and now, of course, as you know, the IMF is saying we got to go after Social Security. And here's another thing with this socialism thing. And now I know, like generally, that these terms have some forms of almost definite meaning. But to me, socialism can also mean traffic signals, for example. It eases. It's a collectivist idea. The community has collectively decided traffic lights are a good thing because it eases congestion and saves people's lives. So people who are ideologues, strict ideologues, they go, that's collectivism. You're a socialist. You're in with the globalists. And I'm just trying to prevent people from dying over here on the corner, and everybody in the city thinks it's a good idea. You know what I'm saying?
So I can see your point.
Yeah, so, and both terminologies are associated to pretty dastardly figures throughout history. That's no doubt about that. You know, there's lots of... Hitler called himself a socialist, although many would say, of course, he wasn't anything of the sort, but he still had that as his label, so it's still a definitive part. And if you go into, I can't remember the name of the dictionary, but anyway, there's dictionaries that will associate socialism to pretty dastardly acts also. But, you know, he's not a socialist on health care. He's not a socialist in these wars, of course. He doesn't want to support following probable cause on anything, or, of course, the whole nation doesn't, apparently. We've lost this.
Apparently not,
simple.
No.
Super simple principle that it's just we're told through blindness that it's just we don't even understand it, and yet it's on every cop show, the good cop shows. They track down the evidence, they follow probable cause, and then if the guy looks like he's really guilty, that doesn't mean he's guilty, but it looks really almost guaranteed we're going to give him a chance to defend himself in a court of law, and that way we're assured as a community that we actually got the right guy. And in an infinite universe of all possibility. Capital punishment, generally, I disagree with, although in wartime it's a different story. But because there's always that possibility, particularly if the guy claims to be innocent, why do you want to put this guy to death? Instead, we have in Texas, I can't remember the gentleman's name offhand right now, but he'd committed some crime with his friend. I think they were planning to do some armed robbery. It's a crime. And the guy he was in the car, he was driving a car, and the guy he was in the car with, they both went to a party, and his acquaintance in the car got into a fight with him not present. Shot the guy dead, and he gets the death sentence for driving in the car, because they say, well, he's associated to the crime. The guy who actually pulled the trigger and killed the other man didn't get the death sentence. You know, so they call it the law of parties. So I figure if anybody supports the Iraq war that has no cause, because Saddam isn't in violation of 1441, soldiers can go in there without, or you can go wherever you please without delay, and Saddam is 100% cooperative, under Texas law should be formally convicted for first-degree murder. Everybody in Texas who supports the Iraq war, because there's no cause for it. And I think it's only censorship that would keep that truth away, because people say, that's just your opinion. I know somebody else will say something else. But not in an open debate with me, they won't.
Sure.
Because these are the facts.
When you talk about that principle of moral responsibility here, one of the things I keep emphasizing when people talk about the idea that we have to support the troops irrespective of whether the war is right or wrong, and the troops, once they're in that situation, have to be able to defend themselves. I keep pointing out, no, this isn't defensive force. If you're conducting a home invasion robbery, if you're an armed robber, and you shoot the homeowner before he shoots you, you've not committed an act of self-defense. You've committed an act of capital murder because you have no legal right to be there. As a matter of fact, under American legal precedent, going back 100 years, 110 years actually, if a police officer invades a home without a warrant and shoots somebody in the process of defending himself against the homeowner who doesn't know the identity of this person who just invaded the home, if the police officer shoots that homeowner, that's capital murder. If the homeowner shoots the police officer in circumstances of the sort I've just described, that's self-defense. And they don't apply that principle when you're talking about an invasion that takes place like the one involving the occupation of Iraq, which is not constitutional, it's not a declared war, it's not a just war, it's an act of aggression. By any metric, it's an act of aggression, which means that the people who are shooting back are the equivalent of armed robbers. Look, John, we got to go to a break now, but it's been great to talk with you. You take care, and we'll be back in just a minute here on the Pro Libertate Show.
All right, thanks, Liam.
Yeah, just a couple quick points here. It's important to realize to be pro-effective war doesn't mean you're not supporting the soldiers. You know, this is a mind trick that people play. The Alex Jones, Prison Planet crowd, the NWOers to say, oh, it's a cognizant effort on behalf of the global elites. No, it's just you're pathetic. Your minds are too intellectually bereft of some simple considerations that aren't granted to the public. You know, I'll call up, there's a couple, maybe instances I'll throw in with this podcast, where, you know, let's be honest, okay, if I'm speaking on an issue that I know something of, and I'm telling you something really cool, and people hang up on me, it's not because, you know, they're thinking I'm being rude or disrespectful, or I'm not offering incredible positions of understanding that others have maybe never, ever heard of, ever, right? And this is a perfect example where people think that if you support effectively warring for freedom, that means you don't support the grunts. No, if by executing a Lance Corporal Boudreaux, for example, he rapes children, brags about this, and then he has to kill the father to ensure that the father doesn't, of course, spend the rest of his remaining days trying to hunt him down and put him in the grave for it. Now, he likely claims Satan gives him his power. He's like Pantano. Pantano is like this, where he says these things, and people go, oh, I'm just lost, whatever. You're a hero to me. What a patriot warrior. He's saying complex ideas. That's like what those smart people, liberals, do. He's just as smart as they are. And it's irrational, the position. But anyway, Lance Corporal Boudreaux, you put a bullet in his head. All grunts worldwide, all men who live in Texas, kill a Ted Nugent-type guy. Because Ted Nugent is guilty of premeditated murder under Texas law. More than a million times over. So shoot him more than a million times. And you can't go to prison in Texas. The law of parties. He supports indiscriminately slaughtering people in Iraq to steal their money and rape their families. There's no cause for the Iraq war. This is the nature of God. There's no alternative side to this. In Ted Nugent's mind, he said, no, don't listen to him because I got another opinion and I'll show you another guy's get another opinion. Uh-uh. There's no cause. There's no reason in this universe to explain why a bomb needs to be dropped on anybody in Iraq, even Saddam Hussein himself. There's no reason. You have unrestricted access to go wherever you please without delay. But more to my point, if you had rightly executed Bush for 9/11, him and Cheney for obstructing justice on 9/11, try him, give him a lawyer, then we have him formally executed. Or you execute him for the war crimes of Iraq. Guess what? Soldiers don't die. There's no reason for soldiers to have been sacrificed. Mattis, Blount, Russell, these are all generals in the Iraq quagmire, who order grunts to go out and murder defenseless innocent families. Right? This is what gets soldiers killed. Samara. You know, you people have no knowledge of any of these issues. You know, the American so-called Nazi, or fuck, whatever you call these parasites, you know, a Ted Nugent kind of guy. You'd love to shoot, put bullets in his head. Who wouldn't want to kill Ted Nugent? Just an Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones doesn't want a person on there who demands justice for our days. He wants a Ted Nugent. They're, don't take a fight to anybody. The soldiers are on our side. The causeless parasites that feed off the ignorance of the dying American family. But in the case of Samara, they bombed the city for no reason. You know, we had this with Fallujah, too. The Shura government had brought forward their negotiator and said, look, we're going to cooperate with you. We, too, would like to see Sukari executed immediately. All he does is attack Iraqi kids. And then later on, he did take an oath that he would not, as he did, attack American military post. Only Iraqi children. Right? You know, this is the suffering world of God. You and your fucking fucked up head, as a fan of Alex Jones, you go, oh, that can't be true, I don't care, I'm not going to look into it because I'm too terrified. But that's what God is here. There's no other side. You know, so the negotiator comes to them and say, look, we want to cooperate with you, and Sattler orders him executed. They killed the negotiator. Then went in there, then dropped 9 2,000-pound bombs on the city. Right? But think of how many soldiers died because of those criminal actions. Same thing with Samara. Samara, all the factions of the city got together and said, look, you can come in the city, steal anything you want. We're not going to fire a shot at you. Do whatever you will. And John Batiste was ordered, you order the grunts to go in there and start killing people indiscriminately. You know, and that's what they did. They went in there and bombed the city. Killed about 50,000, 60,000 defenseless innocent families. And now if you're a survivor of those families, you rightly kill a Ted Nugent. And you're a moral person. Ted Nugent, under Texas law, deserves the death sentence. Now, Alex Jones and his NWOers will go, no, those laws only apply to the niggers and the Mexicans. They don't apply to Ted Nugent. Fuck you. You know, they put these people to death in Texas under this law. I want Ted Nugent executed for the criminal offenses he's for sure guilty of. He is a party to these offenses. He speaks not a word, but propaganda and lies to escape the real bad guys. Bush and Cheney, who closed criminal investigations on 9/11. It's true. Alex Jones is a demon in some ways. Because you guys don't understand. You think it's all or nothing. He's got a hell of a lot of good stuff to contribute. But he can't be a sole authoritarian over our universe, depriving everybody's equal say. Our rights are respected when we can talk freely. Alex Jones can't talk freely. Doesn't want me to talk about banking because I explain it in, what is it, 15 seconds? You know, he doesn't want that. You know, it's interesting, though. I've been on this radio station, or a couple of them now, well, for almost 2 years now, and now it's great. I get no credit. You know, it's unfortunate. Nobody gives me credit. Nobody even forwards my fucking material. Isn't that a fucking nightmare? You know? Oh, to you it is, not to me. You know? There is a God. And you are forsaking yourself by not understanding how critically important this information is to get out to everybody. We need justice for our day to defend our falling lives. Because in the case of Samara, if they hadn't bombed the city, of course, in that first day of conflict, there were 386 dead soldiers. As soon as they bombed the city, then the soldiers, of course, were ordered to go in and placate hostilities. There was no reason to bomb the city. They said you could go in and steal whatever you wanted. You know, and, you know, rules of engagement in World War II would issue death sentences again for looting. That was the crime, because we knew who the Nazis were. Now, bona fide, without doubt, are the grunts, the Nazi grunts. They got no cause. You've murdered more than 1 million people in Iraq, stole their money, raped their children, tortured our families. Fuck, it's a joy. When you start killing Bushite, and God thanks you, you'll know you're doing the right thing here. These are parasites. You know, the Oath Keepers were asked, why don't you take a position to demand soldiers not to obey criminal orders? And it was, you know, secondhand, okay? But it was told that the guy who's running Oath Keepers says, well, we don't want to do that because the people will kill the soldiers. You know, try to figure that out. Like, what does that mean? There is some fucked up reasoning behind that. But I'm not going to get into it right now. Commit to justice for our days. Commit to the arrest of Bush and Cheney for obstruction on 9/11 so we can follow probable cause on how this event transpired and nab the actual bad guys who did America wrong. Sound good? It should. Okay, next call.
Let's go to John in Canada. What's going on, John?
Hey, gentlemen. It's a battle for freedom, I think, today, as it is every day. These forces of evil that surround us, that deprive us, the rights of the party, have to be sequestered with the powers that we all have, equally committed. And, you know, you ask anybody, do you believe in freedom? They're all going to say yes. And that includes justice, of course. So I try to figure out, you know, what in the power of our arguments keeps us divided? And is there a way to bring us to principles that everybody would adhere to bring about this freedom that we also want desperately, particularly in some other countries, too, where, you know, bombs are falling on their heads and things? Pardon me. And so, you know, I'm a kind of a critic of Alex Jones, but, you know, he'll say maybe the globalists are the enemy and the collectivists, the socialists, too. And none of that connotates a direct criminal, and we do spend a lot of time talking about those issues. But I look at, in my city, if my city collectively decides that traffic signals make sense because it eases congestion and saves people's lives, that's a form of socialism because the community is decided in the collective good. And so does that mean you're top secretly in with the NWO, you're a globalist, and you want to overthrow the world so we all live in a FEMA concentration camp? And no, I just want to say, you know, the whole community has figured that this is actually a good idea. And it does ease congestion, for sure, and we get to work quicker.
Well, so, John, I'm sorry. Hang on one second, John. No, you bring up a very interesting point. And it's something that we talk about occasionally on this program. It's knowing where to draw the line. You're right. I mean, yeah, you can make the case that putting up traffic signals to save lives and to control the flow of traffic is a socialist act. But let's be reasonable, of course, that we need to do that because people, you know, I mean, there would be multiple accidents every day and people would get killed. That is the basic responsibility of government. It's you know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
Now, obviously, yes. People need to use their head and not equate something like that with what's going on, say, with Obama's czars, okay, and how these people are so radical as to suggest, you know, again, that people on welfare need to be sterilized to save the human race. Things like that. I mean, we need to know where to draw the line, and that is a decision that we as a society have. You know, these decisions we have to make. These decisions, John. I mean, obviously, you simply cannot have miles and miles of highway with intersections and people just leaving it up to them to decide whether they should cross the street or not. I mean, that would be devastating, obviously. So, but you know, I don't know. Maybe the question is, do most people know where to draw the line?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's a bigotry is a good subject too, but it's very difficult. We don't have the time. But I mean, people will demand that their terminology of what socialism means it connotates what all other people believe. And if you say, well, other people have a different idea of what that terminology means, it's unacceptable. But to me, it doesn't matter. All people. It also would say murder is wrong, so we want to go after capital murderers. So that's a good program also. But it can be connotated both ways. Like there's no all words are forms of symbols. So a fascist or socialist, Obama fits both of those terminologies because it's a generalization. But we look at specific examples as you just gave, which is fantastic. You know, but in other contexts, if we look at healthcare is very difficult. But for me, he's promising taxpayer money to the pockets of private corporations. That's not socialism that I've ever been acquainted to. Like many Americans might use the term against Canada. They have a socialist healthcare system because we don't have a middleman there. To me, it just makes better sense. The healthcare system could be lousy, and it is in many respects. But, you know, I, like I said at the beginning of the call, I'm trying to figure out what keeps us divided from these principles that everybody says they would adhere to. You know, and with banking too, I mean, oh, here's a quote from Obama on Jay Leno. He was talking about the bailout. He said, you know, the thing about the bailout is, quote, it's all perfectly legal, unquote. And then he also said, quote, you know, nothing will be gained by laying blame for the past, unquote. That's lawless anarchy of the most evil nature, because that is what freedom is. You
right,
have to lay blame for the past to defend ourselves.
It's also interesting that he made both those comments, because he continues to berate the previous administration, which, whether you agree with them or not, it's just usually something that presidents don't do. You generally pretend that, you know, whatever happened before you. I mean, it's just protocol. You know what I'm saying, John? It's funny he said that, because he continues to do that and lay blame. And the other point he made is that it's legal. Sure, it's legal. You know, but, I mean, don't think for a moment that this man doesn't know exactly what he's doing. You know, it's more than just being legal.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't have the excuses of Bush to go, I'm just too stupid, I don't know nothing. I love Bush because he's as dumb as I am, and I don't need to read a book either. But we know Obama knows that these crimes are extortion. If they've been found to be criminal frauds, Goldman Sachs has confessed to $550 million of. Same exact reason Obama said it was so necessary to give Goldman Sachs these uncounted trillions of dollars. You know, pay back those doctors who have friends at the SEC, but not the American victims.
Right.
So he knows exactly what he's doing.
But didn't he just say,
John,
excuse me, didn't he just say, though, that was the other point I was going to make. I'm sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought for a moment. That was the other thing. He said that this bailout is not only legal, but, you know, it was necessary, obviously, to stimulate the economy. But he just said last week, if I'm not mistaken, that he wouldn't do it again. So he's apparently just saying whatever he has to say, which is what he's been doing all along anyway, to make people go, oh, okay, because nobody questions this guy.
Yeah, just like Bush. So many of his positions are identical. I mean, there's no – he promised he was going to end the war, but no. He promised he was going to end Guantanamo, but no. And those positions everybody agreed to. Yeah, that's right, torturing an innocent person to get a confession for a crime of which he then closed investigations and escaped the bad guys is a bad policy. And Reagan warrants death for that offense. And we all agree with him, and then when he gets into power, nah, maybe not. You know, he's a liar. He's a cheat.
Not only maybe not, John, don't forget, all that rhetoric when he was running for office about ending the wars, the first thing he did was increase the troops in Afghanistan. So he did exactly the opposite. And again, we were talking earlier in the program about all the red flags with respect to his background, his, you know, his complete lack of honesty regarding where he came from and what he's about, his school record, the people he's surrounding himself with, and nobody really is saying much at all about it. In fact, of course, you know, too, the media, and I'm sure that they're doing it in Canada, too, has been doing nothing but praising him at every turn. We're not even allowed to ask any questions.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we don't have anything like you guys. Our system of media is different. We can't communicate as well as you guys can with propaganda, so maybe we're better off for it. But yeah, I mean, but you know, I would argue with the birth certificate, it's kind of a diversion, because he does have a birth certificate that comes from the state. Until we can prove that that's a piece of, that's fraud with some real evidence, it's not going anywhere. We can get him. Blame for the past never gets us anywhere. I mean, that's, you know, that's incorrect. But like Bush, you know, when the Taliban asked for evidence to form our conclusions, Bush just said, we don't need any evidence, quote unquote. And nobody corrected him either. Nobody ever gets corrected. Palin said Russia attacked Georgia without provocation. No correction. And that's, she was prepared to war Russia with all the suckers to die as soldiers, teen grunts from New York and elsewhere. So, yeah, we need accountability. We need an effective media.
Well, John, listen, John, sir, look, I hate to cut you off, but we've got really about a minute here before we have to wrap up this hour. You know, Sean, a quick comment, sir, before we go.
Yeah, always deep comments from John there, and always great comments. I'll just say quickly, Jimmy, that your analogy of the traffic going backwards and forth without traffic lights, you're in trouble. Just take a look at some of India's roads. They're backwards and forwards. They're running into each other left, right, in certain roads. It just goes to show there is a line that has to be crossed. Once upon a time, I would have said that we just don't need government at all, but over the years, my tune has changed, knowing what I know now, that you do need the traffic lights. You do need some form of non-corrupt government working for the people. That's all I can really say.
Exactly, and that's the key. It's the non-corrupt government, okay? Nobody, I don't think, is, you know, most people, I don't think, are opposed, unless you're an anarchist, you know, to having some form of government. It's just the government needs to do things that the people want it to do for them. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Okay, well, that was a great call. So, yeah, lots of valuable info there. You know, Alex Jones wants you to fear the person who says traffic lights make sense because top secretly, you're not smart enough. You're not heads and shoulders above everybody else, like Alex Jones has told us repeatedly again last week. Morally, he's like heads and shoulders above us, and yet he doesn't support following probable cause. Watson, though, is not so bad. Watson did pretty good on that BP report, exceptionally well. It's awesome that we have that for ourselves. And Alex isn't always bad, isn't always good. You know, this is what he doesn't understand and why he keeps saying we're either with him or we're with them. He suffers from Bushism, right? But he hasn't raped any people that I know of or killed anybody necessarily just yet. You know, he's threatened to hurt people that are innocent. But, you know, we've got to give him lots of leeway because these are challenging times. And it's not that complicated. But anyway, I don't want to repeat what I've already said. But that was a good call. What else can I add? Not too much. Let's go to the next call. Well, wait a second. I can add that we need to get together as individuals and understand these rights that I'm talking about are just assuredly to be yourself, being forsaken, being told, yeah, we got to get the bad guys by bombing people indiscriminately and stealing all their money. Don't accept that. George Norrie is your enemy. Alex Jones doesn't have the intellectual strength to face our shared realities and won't allow you to speak about it either. You know, when people called his show last week, two calls, and we've had this experience throughout his entire career, as soon as somebody calls up that has a disagreement with him, the guy said, for example, yeah, Alex, I was calling up, I wanted to challenge you about this Mexico position. You know, we got to understand these are families who are trying to eke out it, and he stopped the call there, wouldn't let the guy speak another word. Then went on for 5 minutes to tell us who Mexicans were, because he knows Mexicans better than Mexicans. He's a bigot. That's why, you see, he's so aggressive. He doesn't understand the nature of bigotry, and he's expressed this over and over again. Keeps saying, they call me a racist. No, they're calling you a bigot, because it would fall correctly. So he changes it. He says, it's a racist. No, you're a bigot. But they're both very similar in nature. It's unfairly classifying groups of people blindly. And so this was what the caller obviously was trying to get at, is that, you know, you can't say who these families are who have been criminally victimized by America, by the way, in Mexico, trying to eke out an honest day's labor so they can feed themselves and not, you know, fall dead of starvation. He wants to victimize those people, Alex Jones does, and so does Arizona. Ness, sort of. You know, we've got to remember, the cops in Arizona have no words to say about Bush and Cheney obstructing justice on 9/11. No words to say. Okay? And then in court, you know, people give this native guy who tried to arrest Bush as an example. That was bogus, man. I gave him perfectly legitimate legal advice and he didn't take it. Now he's in jail. Well, that's his fault. It's not our system, our legal system. He was in a perfect position to defeat Bush in court and gave up, or he was set up this way, because all he needed to do was go... All you have to do is ask the jury member who did 9/11, what is Bin Laden responsible? What terrorist act has Bin Laden been most understood as responsible for in this last decade? A question like that, and every one of them will go 9/11. Well, they can't be jury members then. They've formed a conclusion on someone's guilt without any evidence, of which there is none. There is no connection, according to the FBI. Linking Bin Laden to the terrorist event in question. That's why you kill the Bushite. The Bushite says, yeah, I don't care what you say. I've been taught differently. Where? There's no evidence. You have demon liars who say things that aren't substantiated by the facts. And the investigations are closed. The FBI is forbidden from pursuing the actual culprits responsible. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is the official position of the FBI, PD-51. Bush said, "We don't." You know, I'm going to repeat. I don't want to repeat. I've already said these things. For you to deny this right to another and say, I'm not going to forward this post, I'm not going to do anything to help you, puts you rightly where you deserve to be. Fucking, hopefully, dead soon, because we don't need you around here. You know, to contribute anything to the defense of innocent Americans falling down dead as murder victims. Fuck you, God says. Fuck you. Now, next caller.
We're going to switch over to John in Canada. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Not following probable cause. I mean, this seems to be the strategy throughout all these war crime shenanigans. You know, as you were well aware, you know, immediately according to the FBI, Bush did close investigations, and when the Taliban asked for evidence, Bush's quote was, quote, we don't need any evidence, unquote. I mean, this is the madness.
We have truth on our side, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
so the soldiers are out there, and they say that they're warring for something, and reconciliation, we got to negotiate with the Taliban or whatever. But they can't, it's just like Israel, they can't negotiate across an open table because people will say, well, the birth of civilization started with Hammurabi. We need evidence to form a conclusion. Otherwise, the accused is an innocent person. And the soldiers can't accept that reality because that means they're escaping the true evildoers by not supporting the FBI's official conclusion standing today that Bin Laden's got no connection to 9/11. And now why would the FBI say that? Is it because they're anti-Obama or anti-conservative or anti-Bush? No, it's that they don't have any evidence to form a warrant, so they can't make that formal conclusion. Instead, we know who's escaping. General Ahmad, according to the FBI, financed the operation, and he's still unarrested. And this is following probable cause, of which we're being cheated everywhere. Like, so you say, well, why can't they just negotiate a peace settlement? Oh, the guy across the table is going to say, okay, you got to stop stealing our houses.
Yeah,
that would be a criminal offense.
That's what it comes down to. You know, it takes all parties to want peace, but only one side to want war. And the bottom line is the U.S. government has embarked on a period of what they call indefinite war. This goes all the way back to the Project for the New American Century, where they said the stated policy was to lure the United States into a century of endless warfare. We're always conquering somebody. We're always attacking somebody. We're, you know, we're burning up the work product of the people, you know, with military spending. And the idea is, you know, we're the last superpower, we should do it. But what we're actually doing, we got suckered, because the Project for the New American Century is actually a pro-Israel bunch of neocons who are using up the United States' superior military technology and our surplus of young people population to go make war on Israel's enemies. That's who we're attacking. We're attacking all the Muslims. Who hates the Muslims? Israel.
Yeah,
and they're trying to convince us that we should hate them too, just because.
For sure. It's also, too, another thing to look at, it's a failure to communicate, because they do, you know, institute their propaganda to convince or confuse the masses as to the fact that soldiers could have just simply walked into Iraq. You didn't need to bomb anyone because you had complete unrestricted access to go wherever we please. But we see it more profound with the BP congressional hearings in early June, where they said, you know, we removed the safety fluid, and they find out that when you do that, the rig blows up, and they have fisticuffs on the rig. So there needs to be arrests made. Why would that happen? And yet everybody heard them say that, and none of these congressmen are asking for some accountability on this issue. You know,
because they're all taking campaign money from the oil corporations. It's all who's got the money and protecting the money. In medieval times, it used to be protect the king at all costs. Now in this country, it's protect the money at all costs. You know, there is no sacrifice too great to protect the money. That's what the whole bailout and TARP thing was all about. Oh, we can't let the money in Wall Street be harmed. We must prop it up. We must take money from the people to feed the gods of Wall Street. And it really is a rather absurd, almost religious observance of wealth and money. But that really is the mentality. We've got to protect the money. We've got to serve the money. The bigger the pile of money, the more powerful an idol of gold it is that we must all bow down to and make obeisance. And that's really what it is, because, you know, a large chunk of money represents power, and the government wants to keep it under their control. The less money the people have, the safer the government feels. That's why the middle class is being destroyed. And so that's really what's going on here. You're not going to see anybody you know, there'll be a few token people who screw up so bad that they really have to go to jail, like Bernie Madoff with the loot. And now we're hearing he may have $9 billion stashed someplace for when he finally comes out. But the reality is that, you know, really large pools of money almost become a force unto themselves. And go ahead.
Yeah, well, most definitely. You know, the major intersection of every capital city, well, we got a 50-story bank building that which the bank completely mortgages out except for their small office in the back corner open 4 days a week for 4 hours a day. And it is a religious position for us to blindly give them half of our lives when they don't even cover our loans. And when for you and many of your listeners understand that, that is actually true. We're giving our lives blindly to these people. And interesting to accentuate your point.
Have you ever noticed that banks and churches look a lot alike in terms of the finery and fluffiness of the building and everything? Anyway, we got to let you go here, John. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Yeah, so this is a pretty compelling call. Mike Rivero is always on the top of these issues, saying some really wise words. A lot of people will ask questions, how can this be? And I'll try to boil it down really simply. The story of Christ is an ever-present attribute to just cause through God's will. So the story of Christ predates Christ. The story of Christ is before Christ. And there's so many characters that have different names, Horus and so on, that have near identical storylines, near identical, you know, virgin birth. Now, I've talked about the virgin birth, you know, and like I'm the only man in history who can explain that. That's an important thing to look at, okay? And understand, even on my most simplest arguments, nobody offers a counter to me. You know, they don't forward my material because they hold life in contempt. That's true. But they also don't argue against me. They call me names. People call me names. But nobody, you know, I'm telling you things that I understand to be so. And often I'll logically walk through it. Now, when we talk about, actually, the virgin birth, I'm not saying there's one way. The nature of Christ, when you understand the story, as it is with Moses also, you know, there's a whole bunch of Moses characters. You know, they're living in sin. Guy goes up in the hill. Spends a lot of time carving some words in a stone. Or God zaps him into the stone or whatever. And he comes back down and tells him what he's found. But anyway, what's my point here? My point is, as with banking, this struggle has always been here. There's always been people selling gold. I guess I talked on my last podcast, so maybe I won't get too far into this. But this struggle has always been around, where a bankster, and they're almost always Jewish in ancestry, but not in belief. They don't believe in God. You know, these Zionists who burn children alive with white phosphorus, and then give a medal, and call the guy a hero, who tricked the Gazan peoples to bring their children to the city center to be safe from the falling bombs, and then burn them alive with white phosphorus. They award that monster with a medal. And these are the fucking daily histories of what that nation represents. It's satanic. Who on earth would agree to that? If you lived in Israel, wouldn't you just kill anybody? Oh, fuck. There are no Jewish people who live in Israel, because the Torah of Moses talks about getting the fuck out of there. These aren't Jewish people. If you're Jewish, it doesn't matter where on earth you stand. You know, you can stand anywhere on one foot with your finger on your nose going, it's all commentary. The only thing you have to know is treat the other person with some self-respect that you would hopefully find expressed to yourself by another. And who says that? Everybody says that. All religions say that. You know, atheists, they don't have the mind for this. All they want to do is demonize God, who they claim doesn't exist. But atheists, I'm really looking forward to these debates, and I'll show you. And this is why they're committed to no open communication. There is no conflict. There's a call. When did I do that call? I did a call where I talked about, oh, maybe I'll play that call and talk about intelligent design versus creationism. Or no, is it... you know, what is it? What are they? There is no conflict there. And that's the call I'll play next. It's really great. But anyway, back to this really quick. the banks don't cover our loans. We're paying them for nothing. That's always been around. That's Christ turning the tables, going, look, the goldsmith is printing up receipts for himself, of which he doesn't have to cover. Just like the banks today, they don't have to cover the money they're lending to you. This is why would a bank lend several hundred million dollars to a person they know is never going to pay that money back? And they did it over and over and over again. It's got no identification. Why would you do that as a sound business practice? Because they don't cover that initial loan. See, they're not giving, when you go to get the loan, it doesn't come out of the banker's pocket. They can just manufacture it out of nothing. It costs you money. You have to work for a living. You know, this is one of the big errors of almost everybody in the NWR movement who have learned things from Alex Jones and such. You know, you get confused there. You go, yeah, it's money is fiat currency isn't worth anything. Well, it is. It's $10 is $10. They can make it appear out of nowhere, right, when they lend it to us. But we got to pay them back. Blood, sweat, and tears. But anyway, I'll get to that call. Here we go.
John, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes,
yep.
Please. Save our souls, save our minds with something, anything.
I'll try. I really do love this topic that I'm going to bring forward, and I really almost never in my entire life get an opportunity to talk on this subject, and I'll only take maybe a minute or 30 seconds or whatever. I won't take much. But there's a really super cool documentary that came out a little while ago called The Mystery of Life. And through that experience and reading a few books, you find out that there's actually truly no conflict between intelligent design versus creationism. It's just that people don't understand. If God exists, let's say, if there was an intelligence to this universe that we could prove scientifically that's beyond our comprehension, of which we can, the electron microscope in the 1940s discovered this multidimensionality of cell structure that isn't born out of linearity, but it's an intelligence we can witness. And this documentary covers it quite amazingly. For example, bacteria flagellum, which is their motor that runs them through fluid, runs at, if I can remember the details, 40,000 RPM. It's got four gears, forward and reverse, and we can watch how the whole thing is manufactured with the electron microscope, and we can see that this isn't a random occurrence. This is intelligence. It's, and we can see how it's all put together, like the DNA genes, and we know all this, and yet when you understand that much, you go, well, how is this being orchestrated? It's like we are intelligence. It's like intelligence exists that we're not separate from, like a cause. Causes aren't separate from existence ourselves. We say we're separate from the world of which we perceive, but really they're partial illusions. And this is where you get concepts, I could talk way too long on this subject, but this is where you get concepts of God being the Word, where when we make a linear statement, when I say, well, the chalkboard is black, it's at the exclusion of something else. It's never the totality, it's never the totality of all creation. We have to divide to make a statement. So in the course of biblical scripture, you know, the idea of circumcision, you know, when, if the intelligence of this universe tries, it seems, if it tries really hard to communicate a really simple principle, people will take that and they'll say, no, it means cutting the foreskin off a man's penis. Well, it's about your conceptualizations of God. As soon as you make the explanation or the definition, you're off the path because you've divided the universe, and you're no longer falling in true understanding, which God wouldn't be opposed to. I think atheists are God's chosen true worshipers because they're only going by what they understand by reason, and that's what God really wants. You know, the idea of, when you're talking about the influenza shots, for example, you know, both you guys, I'm sure everybody at Oracle does also, this is a poison. It contains mercury that causes horrific neurological brain damage 100% of the time. But how do these school teachers threaten the life of your child and all of creation only through blind worship of the government to not understand what this vaccination is? And a lot of people go to doctors under the same premise where it's just blind, it's like voodoo doctors. They don't care why the doctor's giving them this pill, but it's going to massively cure ourselves when we learn about it.
Right, it's like blind faith. That's very
dangerous.
And
we learn about it. No doubt about it. And one of the great stories with that documentary is you learn about Darwin, and it's such a sad, it was not sad, but it's partially sad, because Darwin's title of his book is On the Origin of Species. And it's very few people ever read his book. And that's the problem. You know, they always say he's coming from the atheist perspective. And his book is about why his theory isn't valid.
and he addresses many reasons why his theory is invalid, and many of them have been proven scientifically, over these last couple of decades, where he's said, you know, if you can show a life force that is generated not sequentially, my whole theory is out the door. It makes no sense anymore. So his theory is all about why his theory isn't valid, and the title of the book is On the Origin of Species.
Right.
So in the book, he never gives an origin to the species. You know, it's a beautiful work of art that he expresses that there are many unanswerable questions. But again, all religious teachings of all the principal religions say the same thing. Treat the other as you would wish to treat yourself. So the story of Christ and even Hammurabi is today. These struggles are the same struggles then as we are today. Christ says, politically speaking, he goes, these people in Israel are not Jews. They're committing grievous assaults against God's interest while pirating that label, not giving us an opportunity to debate them freely. And that, of course, that's exactly what's going on. So that there's credence to what the caller was saying.
Yeah,
it's just,
there is.
To me.
No, and I don't mean to cut you here, John. We're about to run out of time here in this segment. You're right. I'm trying not to be rude to the individual. It was the angle he was taking. He was almost generalizing everybody, including this network. Everybody was just completely off the path. And if you want your solutions, you're just wasting your time because I know the solutions and they're all right in front of you. And it was just very intellectually insulting. And, you know, he might be right for all I know. But, John, stay there, man. We're going to finish up with you on the flip side. All right, welcome back. Hour number two of Axiom Radio on this Wednesday edition of the broadcast. We were talking with our good friend John in Canada. We're talking a little bit of the origin of species, a little bit of Darwinism, a little bit of creationism, intelligent design, trying to wrap it all in here and trying to figure out the world that we've been handed and trying to sift through the lies and the deceptions and trying to make this information work for us, or how I like to better kind of qualify it is, the truth will set you free and lies will bind. So we're doing the best we can to break those lies, break those binds, and trying to get somewhere with the information. But, John, please continue, man. You got the rest of this short segment to finish up here.
Okay. Oh, for sure. And, you know, if God has a voice here, he's here to compliment you on that godly struggle to free people of tyranny. Because if God is of all people, if there is an order to chaos in this universe beyond our understanding but exists, we want to all be treated fairly. That way we win. We the people win all the time. You know, and it's interesting when you look at Bush, who claims to be a Christian, and we love Bush because he's Christian. You know, he closed his criminal investigations immediately, and then when asked, are you responsible for spying on all Americans, breaking the law, or torturing an innocent person to near death to have them confess to a crime, so therefore you can close investigations and the real perpetrators escape, he initially said, oh, of course I wouldn't do that. That would be high treason. But then he confessed later, oh, yeah, well, I did. You know, I did order the torture of an innocent person, of which they closed investigations to nab the real bad guys. So he looked at that and
he's
like, these are the risks.
Mm-hmm.
These are the risks of people who claim to be religiously intolerant, of people who don't see the world their way. And yet, if God's will is just, always. So you always argue for the just cause, and you always have God on your side, including the atheists. And lastly, another profound teaching that we do find through religious scripture is the Quran, where it's all one continuous statement. It can be interpreted as that. And that's partly what they teach in the madrasas. But that is an extremely profound position, because it compels you to find, hopefully, eventually, you'll understand that you draw the divisions. You decide what this statement means, because in the context of it being one continuous statement, that's Allah, you're the person who makes the conscious decision where it starts and where it ends. And so that's really profound. But look at how badly that's been twisted. They go, oh, that means I can abuse children, I can abuse women, and that's ungodly. You know, you're hurting an innocent person, and you're saying you're doing it in God's name. So it's not all good, it's not all bad. But, we can understand scientifically that there is an intelligence to this universe, and God's commitment is to treat ourselves fairly, and those who say otherwise are undermining our pursuit of happiness for everybody. Be an atheist, be a godly person, but just treat the other person fairly, and that's what they all say to ourselves. And yet, still, Bush can say, we don't need evidence to form a conclusion, we can torture innocent people to death to extract false confessions. And people don't call him satanic or demonic as they should. Well, I do, but I mean, you know, all these Christian churches should be demanding his formal arrest.
Right.
They believed in Christ, because Christ is ourselves on the cross dying as innocent victims here, and we shouldn't be allowing that. We should be standing up for all religions and all atheists and every single person under the sun who is an innocent.
Right, and that's the angle I take. I mean, that's really what I try to do. I saw so many older people being taken advantage of, so many younger kids and younger people who didn't have the full faculties of a developed mind being taken advantage of, and that's what I couldn't tolerate. Sure, I'm manipulated and taken advantage of and programmed and brainwashed to a certain extent, but I just felt like I couldn't tolerate people who didn't understand being manipulated that way. And that's really the kind of the gist for my show, was that I needed to get a voice out there to try to help these people and show them that there is a place they can go to get real information that will hopefully, you know, free the mind, free those lies up and you know, set them free, at least from that aspect of it. But, John, I thank you so much for your phone call, man. It's a pleasure when you call in, man. Always a pleasure. Just thank you so much, man.
All right, buddy. Lastly, you know, there's nothing in the Quran about getting virgins. It's grapes. And, like, that's the thing you were talking about. We got to defeat these lies. You know, there's nothing about promising virgins, but yet so many people say that. And even people who go to these madrasas will say that.
Yeah, that call went pretty good. I was a little frantic there at the end. I thought it was important to try to get across that these struggles exist in other cultures and in other religions also. But it's very easy for those who believe in Allah to secure justice for ourselves. And that's why, you know, it's so great when you kill a Bushite. You'll love it when it happens. And you kill it. And you know that you're doing a favor for God. Because the Islamic religion is very easy. You know, the teachings of Muhammad are that Jesus is to be respected. Mother Mary is a central figure here in the Quran. If you don't respect, as Muhammad teaches, Genesis through Deuteronomy, you don't go to paradise because you're not understanding God's relationship to this universe, of which we're not separate from. You know, Muhammad was a very wise man. People say, I know a whole bunch of disparaging things about him. But the thing about Muhammad is he says, and, you know, we get, you know, as I talked in this call about, you know, when God, or when the order to life does make an effort to try to tell you something important, as Muhammad does, evil has an entry. You know, this is the thing. Why doesn't God do this or do that? And there's a lot, and there's a lot of different questions there. Maybe I shouldn't have started on this. But there are reasons that God can't help you in many respects. It's not that I'm not limiting God, it's just that you don't understand God's nature to ourselves. But Muhammad is very wise. Anyway, Muhammad's position is, keep me out of the equation. It doesn't matter what you think of Muhammad. So look at what happens. Right? Say, if you depict him, it's an insult. Fuck you. You don't understand. You know? It's Muhammad isn't the important quotient here. You know, may peace be upon him, sure. But the teaching he's trying to say is that, you know, you're just as soon to be a Muhammad or a Mary or a Johnny or whatever. You know, he says it's not about himself. And then my arguments, you know, they're much more difficult. I can't have a discussion, generally speaking, except for this great opportunity I had about God, because people's intellects aren't strong enough. You don't understand, and you run as cowards instead of going as you should. A normal human being is supposed to either go, well, I can't understand what you're saying, so I just discount it because it doesn't make sense in my mind, or, well, that's interesting, I'm gonna think about that, or, wow, you really got me curious, or, that's a great, yeah, you've really enlightened me on that subject, and I've, you know, there, you know, the call was excellent, but generally people don't react that way. You know, when I start talking, well, you know, people will try to discredit me in these foolish games that you people play. That has no effect on my ego. Like, it's always, yeah, why do you talk that way? We all think that you just want to read out, as Mike said in my last podcast, right? You just want to read out what you've written. Well, that's just actually the way I talk, Mike. And, you know, I know these arguments are pretty incredible, and I'm a wise man, but you shouldn't hate me for it. But no, he'll try to twist it where he represents all people who talk to me. And I'm supposed to feel insecure with myself. You know, but it doesn't. It's, you know, as I've explained for a decade, almost, you know, it really, I want people to believe and champion these same rights as if they were their own. But it's not a democratic thing. Like, you know, if 99.9% of parasitic Americans like Ted Nugent can't care enough for themselves and die that way, so be it. See what I'm saying? I'm not trying to run for political office here. I want this world to be what it's supposed to be, where we respect the rights of other people, the way America is in almost every movie. Or, well, I mean, not every movie, lots of movies. You know, people will say the New World Order is manipulating your mind, as Lee there fears a great too many times. But we know how these movies are made. And I had a call. I'm not going to play that call. That call takes too long because not much is said. And then it ends prematurely before I get to even make my point because people are scared, I suppose. Or I'm just a little chaotic in how I muse these ideas. But, you know, Lee Rogers is a tremendously honorable person who's, you know, seeking the truth in this journey also. So, you know, it's like, well, it's not like, you know, Mike Rivero is sort of an extreme example of that, where even if he massively screws up, it's you just can't criticize him for it, barely. You know, he had to really mess things up because he's so great. Like, I think he's like Alex Jones times 1,000. You wouldn't think it because he's not as aggressive and doesn't call as many people names and disparage billions of people. As you know, he's not doing as much as Alex Jones is telling us about how evil all those Mexicans and socialists and collectivists and liberals and whatever and who else, all these other classifications he's got. So he's doing more, but not really. But anyway, what's my point? I don't know. You know, there are these subtle disagreements I have with a lot of different people, as you would too, naturally, you'd imagine, with this world that we share. And there are people, too, that I have disagreements with that I don't want to kill, you know? You know, there's... I know that is a bigger issue that I don't have a complete cognizant idea of, because I see everybody suffering in that way, and Alex Jones expresses this often, as I've already talked about, you know, we did it with him or we're with them. And, no, we're not. Doesn't work that way, Alex. Wrong. No. You know, we can agree. I can agree with you on some subjects. I can disagree with you on others. I can think you're shallow, offensive, and bigoted, while at the same time glorious in some of your statements. There's no conflict inside my mind on that issue. With Alex Jones and NWOers, they go, that's impossible. It can't be that way. Either all in or you're all out. And that's not what life is. You know, Alex Jones says that he's infallible and that every opinion he has is the correct one. And that's why he can't take any calls, because he's terrified of the true knowledge of this universe. And perhaps this is why he's been so successful. So it's maybe not all bad that he believes as such. I mean, it would be difficult for anybody to do a daily show as he does. It requires a lot of effort. But at the same time, he gets very little time to, you know, sort through his ideas or, you know, even meditate on some simple things, although he's not acquainted with that kind of structure. And again, he's fearful, you know, of me saying banks don't cover our loans. What are we paying them back for? He's terrified of that. Instead, he should be thinking about that, meditating on it, and having his eureka moment and going, yeah, this does not have to be as complicated as the banksters will it to be spoken as. Then again, we look at Max Keiser, where he talks about these issues, and they are fairly complicated, and it's a great thing that he's there to help us through this on you know, some of these market shenanigans. But the whole system in of itself is a fraud, and there's so many things I could tell you about, but our time is limited. We want to set priorities on the war. But I guess an example, a company in the stock market will look for investors because they're engaged in some form of, let's see, you build rigs, you build oil rigs. Okay, so you're already an established company that builds oil rigs. Okay, so if you already have the business experience, you know how to do this form of production. So what do you need investors for? They're only going to take away from your profit margin. If push comes to shove, you're guaranteed to be able to borrow the money, you know, at a less cost than what would be required to pay back to somebody else in dividends that you didn't need any new capital for. In fact, I'd imagine for sure if somebody were to look into this, but you can pick any of these companies almost that are successful. They already have, you know, hundreds of millions or billions of dollars in capital. They don't need new capital, but yet they sell stock in their company. Why? To scam us. It's a scam. You know, they're not going to limit their profit margins, but they do. Right? Because the casino attribute or the bookie attribute, all these people running the stock market are bookies. You know, sometimes selling stock can actually be a good thing to help raise capital for a company that's burgeoning into some new territory. But not these established companies, and they do it. And for what? To con us, to take money out of somebody's pocket that they shouldn't have gotten access to. With the repeal of the Glass-Steagall, you know, the investment bankers have access to our personal funds. They shouldn't be able to do that. That's why the provision of law was put in there after the Depression when they figured this stuff out and understood how we were hijacked then. And we're in the same place, except it's far worse now. Because we have these Bushite grunts that want to murder tens of millions of people in Iran. Why don't we kill those in America who support a premeditated attempted murder? Just kill them, because there's no truth to their accusations. Netanyahu deserves to die by the hand of Jews everywhere. Anybody who's a Jew who doesn't kill him on sight deserves to fucking go to hell. I hope you fucking burn in hell, because you're not a Jewish person to stand with Netanyahu, who broke the truce with Gaza to get Jews killed, to steal our charity. But anyway, I guess I've said quite a bit. Let's maybe go to another call.
Let's go ahead and go to John from Canada. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Ernest. Yeah, that was a very compelling interview you'd had with Rebecca. I would throw in my two cents, though, to suggest that they're not warring for the interests of the Afghanistan people. I mean, the last thing that the military bosses here want is reconciliation. Because, you know, if we just let all the egos get out of the way and just say, you know, as you actually referenced yourself, you said, you know, are we going to let them teach Afghanistan philosophy, or are we going to give them our Western culture? And their philosophy on this war is that you're not following probable cause. You know, you're accusing bin Laden without any evidence. And the FBI today, you contact the FBI, go to their website. Bin Laden's not connected to 9/11. You know why? Because they can't put his name on a warrant without evidence to form a conclusion. And
you know, I understand your point. Let's get back to Afghanistan, you know, because I let me tell you what. I guarantee you they aren't going to use all my tax money they ripped off from me to begin with to build this school and then some imam get in there and go death to America. I mean, that ain't going to happen. Okay.
Right. Well, the Canadian politicians like a year or so back went to Afghanistan to figure out what happened to our $10 billion, and it was lost right at the front door. The building that the money was issued to said that they couldn't account for, I think it was $10 billion. But, you know, we want to blame and I'm sure there's lots of corruption there. But the fact remains that the soldiers there do not war for a just cause by following, for example, they've threatened and did put to death a man simply because he was a Christian in Afghanistan. The soldiers didn't speak a word for his defense. They've made it legal to rape child wives. Soldiers speak nothing for the interests of those children. In fact, I have a quote from a brigadier general or commander of the... I'll get it for you in a second. Oh, here it is. Brigadier General Colin, commander of the land force, has been advising soldiers that they do not interfere with incidents of forces having sex with children, quote unquote. You know, they're advocating the rape of children, and they're not defending those children's rights either. All you'd have to do is say, look, you're innocent until proven guilty. You need evidence to form a conclusion. That's the building block of a civilization. But the grunts can't work for that because they're cowards. They don't support the FBI's conclusion that bin Laden's got nothing to do with this terrorist event. And it's not that the FBI's anti-Bush or anti-Obama. They just don't. There's no evidence. This is the thing. You know, Bush actually, his verbatim quote is, quote, we don't need any evidence.
Well,
we know
you expected.
Guilty, unquote. I mean,
you expected something different.
Reality.
You expected something different. What'd you expect?
Right. They're criminals who pirate our authority, similarly as the banks.
So why do you, I mean, even bring, you know, I can understand. You have an opportunity to bring up these things about
Afghanistan
and Osama and Iraq and all of this. And there's a lot of people that haven't heard. But I get to the point to where, you know, I don't care what your reasons are. You know, I don't care why you want to go over. I don't care.
I'm not saying that either. I'm saying to just shoot in people indiscriminately in your name is a crime against God and man. It's a crime against America to know that soldiers are ordered to kill these people who are called Taliban, who simply, the main accusation
See,
is that they demand evidence.
You're missing my point. My point is that I don't care if you had a really great, 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 great reason for, you know, shooting somebody if you're standing over there. My problem is you shouldn't have been standing over there to begin with.
That's what I'm saying, too. It costs you money. You have to pay for this nonsense. Why should you have to pay for these crimes? You shouldn't be paying for this. The perpetrators for 9/11 need to go to prison, and those in Afghanistan who advocate the murder of people simply because they're Christian or the raping of children need to be arrested. And then guess what? We save a ton of money because nobody's going to be firing at the American forces anymore. They're going to go, oh, yeah, they support Allah, where all people are treated equitably. Or Christ teaches also, you know, treat others as you would wish to be treated yourself.
Tell me what's going on.
And be incarcerated indefinitely without trial.
Tell me what's going on in Canada. I mean, you know, you're from Canada. You're talking about, you know, American policy and all this stuff. I mean, how does Canada see this? What are the people, how much money is going from Canada to Afghanistan?
Total waste. But we live. It's an alternative reality we live in here. There's for many reasons, and I don't want to take it. Well, I'd love to take up the time, and if you give it to me, it would be awesome. But, I mean, there's lots of reasons why we live in a different way here. We don't have communications like you guys do. For example, in this province of Manitoba, there's only one radio station that's allowed to have any political discourse. And these are criminals, vicious, evil enemies. They're not evil just because I say they're evil. I'm saying they're criminals who steal from our community and con soldiers to die needlessly anywhere.
What do you mean allowed? Allowed? You mean you're not allowed to have competing radio station?
Right, apparently, yeah. And it's the same right across Canada, so we can't even talk about anything serious because these guys, one newspaper and one radio station, and both of them get millions of dollars from the lotteries, for example, and the lotteries has a front page ad on the newspaper every single day of the week. It's like 50 grand a day. And these guys at the radio station, all they do is air casino commercials. So as a consequence, they won't tell people that there's criminal fraud transpiring there, and it's huge criminal fraud.
Okay, you know, let me go ahead and ask you some questions.
Sure.
Now, there are other ways of communicating. I would imagine there might be like an underground little pamphlet, newspapers, flyers, internet. I mean, you know, what's the internet access there?
Oh, it's superb. It's about the same as you, I guess. We don't get it as well as China or Japan or anywhere else, really, where apparently they get like a standard 20 megabits per second or whatever.
So are you having meetups in Canada? Is there, you know, political dissent manifesting itself in some way?
You know, I hate to tell you, my friend, but not really. You know, we have these protests similar to the, you know, I don't know what your position is on the teabag movement or the teabaggers or whatever you call those guys. It's not defined by anything. So, you know, we've had protests against the war, protests against the IMF or the G20 where people go out. But, you know, there's no strategy here to defeat these criminals. Like with the G20 and IMF, they're advocating the destruction of our social programs while not defending the victims who have lost trillions of dollars through these banking frauds by Paulson. If they truly represented your interest, they demand that the return of those monies. Instead, they're doing that. Plus, they're saying give Social Security to themselves. Now, I don't know, your position on Social Security is probably you don't necessarily like it. But anyway, why do we want to deprive elderly people what they've formally put into for themselves? This isn't tax money. This is money that they've already paid into. Now, we're going to deny them those payments because the IMF doesn't want to help pursue Paulson. And I'm sure you're aware of Paulson. He bailed out AIG, which in turn gave fraudulent payments back to Goldman Sachs, which he was the head of. He sold AAA mortgage securities that were nothing of the sort. They were subprime.
If you listen to the show for, I don't know, a couple of days.
Yeah, I know you're a great guy.
You know that.
I've talked to you before, and we've had good discussions.
You know that we're on this, but I'm telling you, it's a much more basic, fundamental issue, and I'm sensing that you're having the same, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here. Let's say I'll ask you some questions and use you as an example here. You suffer from the same sickness Rebecca does.
In which way?
You know,
I don't want to be robbed.
Well, you know, if we're going to have these senior citizens that paid into this program, or we have these social programs that they want to do away with while they're still funding their, you know, bankster buddies that, you know, screwed us, you know, this we should take that money instead of giving it to them. We should, you know, redistribute it to people that really needed it and were promised it, and, you know, and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's the same thing she was saying.
Well, it's their right to have that money not be mismanaged as it is. Like, it's managed in a trust fund, and fiduciary responsibility is to earn as much money as you can on that deposit. Guess what? You get less than 2% on your $1 trillion
okay.
deposit.
Okay, all right, let me go ahead. Time out. Let's go ahead and, you know, walk this through. The way the system worked is that, okay, we're going to put a gun to your head. We're going to force you to have retirement because we can. We want to create a bucket of money. All right, we got this bucket of money. We'll get the bucket of money later. We'll get the bucket of money right before the baby boomers start to retire, like now, okay? Yep. And then they'll go, everybody's chips all in, y'all in, everybody's chips on the table. Okay, they're ours now, all right? So that was already predetermined to begin with. So the thing is, I'm going, all right, you know, so what are they obligated to get? Well, their money back or a certain dollar amount. Okay, we'll just print up the printing presses, crank them up, and here you go, we're done. You know, they want to put in another $5 trillion in to the system, you know, Bernanke's warming up his helicopter, so he's going to go dumping it out. Oh, fine, let's give him the senior citizens and get him out of Social Security. But my point is that, you know, what you're advocating is that, well, we have an obligation to them, so my grandchildren that are just being born just now are obligated to do it. When does it stop?
Well, when criminality is halted by justice for ourselves. Justice is what we need.
Justice.
That guy's got to go to jail.
We'll talk about it. Thanks for calling in. You know, I appreciate the call. Maybe I'll talk about a little bit about justice when we come back. We'll find out what that is.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Justice is freedom. If you don't believe in justice, you don't believe in freedom. Libertarians say that's freedom of somebody else, not me. I don't care about my neighbor getting raped or robbed, murdered, whatever. Just that's not to do with me. But that's not what freedom is. You want justice for ourselves. Whether you disagree or agree with Social Security should be irrelevant to the fact that they've pilfered those funds as criminals who are walking away with our lives. See what I'm saying? It's not that complicated. But an ideologue says, no, I always have to oppose it, no matter what scenario you bring forward. And that's exactly what the criminals will. The criminals who steal trillions of dollars from you go, justice, what's that? Press on, and remember to sacrifice your child, who's a teenager, who is illiterate. In America, you know, fuck, man, it's pretty pathetic, man. There's supposed to be 300 million people there, but 300 million people. And how many people are politically active? 10, or maybe a few more than that. Certainly less than 100 out of a nation of 300 million people. So that's not freedom. Like, it's crazy. But that's reality, so, you know, we press on anyway. Hopefully people will hear the call I had with Ernest and go, well, Ernest, don't you want justice? You want the criminals to escape? You know? And his mantra has been, I just don't want to participate. I don't want to be involved. You know? And that's fine for Ernest, but not fine for you. And he'll champion that position. And he's not a bad guy. He covers lots of interesting stuff. That's for certain. He's actually really one of the better, you know, ideologues out there, where he actually brings on people that he would disagree with and disagrees with and would politely do as such. And so that's pretty cool. But you know, if you don't want justice, America will die, and you as victims. You know, so go, I don't want to get involved. I don't care about Afghanistan. I don't care about Iraq. Well, with Afghanistan, you're escaping the actual perpetrators who committed mass murder in New York City. So, you know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be that complicated. But it is, I know, because many people will hear this. They go, no, I like Ernest's position better. I don't want to get involved. Why should I take a risk? You die. You know? And they'll say that about their neighbor. And in American culture, political culture, Fox News fans, that neighbor will say the same thing about themselves. And the Bushite Nazi grunts come in and rape and pillage all they will, right? Because you're not going to stand up for your neighbor. You're not going to stand up for the women who have been gang raped by KBR. Why don't we hear on the news about KBR, people who work at KBR being gunned down in the street? If you work for KBR, you know the position of the company is to gang rape American women. It's like 40 women. And the head of KBR has come out forward and say, we will not participate in assisting in the arrest of these people. In fact, we're working as a corporation to ensure that they escape. And they've insisted that all employees not be allowed to carry cell phones that can be acquired by their potential next rape victims. Not to arrest the perpetrators, but to ensure that the rape victims don't escape. I would kill Cheney for that. I would kill everybody in KBR who holds that position. As fuck, this is sick, diseased, fucked up people who wouldn't gun down a KBR official. You know, they say, oh, they got an excuse. They didn't commit the rape. I don't care. You're working for the company. You know, the company's there to commit lawless acts against defenseless, innocent people. Slave labor. They have slave labor at KBR where they don't pay the victims a penny, beat them to get back to work, to death in some instances. You know, it's like BP workers. Don't criticize BP workers. BP will kill BP workers who complain about unfair wages. They will actually fucking murder you. You go, yeah, but you can't arrest a corporation. Dutch Shell, they charter attack helicopters against little children in a school district and murdered them because their parents were complaining about the fact that that Dutch Shell was releasing deadly toxins, including mercury, right next to the fucking school. And they said, oh, you're not going to give us a bad image. So they went in and slaughtered them all. And the president of Dutch Shell gets on MSNBC almost every day to tell us about BP, and everybody's got to kill this man. He needs to be tried and executed gloriously. We fucking kill him. He chartered attack helicopters to kill little kids. Okay? That's the thing. You go, yeah, but I work for KBR. I don't care. Fuck you and die. You know? But Ernest isn't all that. He's, like I say, he's not all that bad. He's one of the better guys, if not the best ideologue that I've ever heard. You know? Because his positions are often irrational, but he still will still spew them without censorship. So you, if you're really clever and you know what you're talking about, you can, you know, have the audience be able to digest the information for themselves and hopefully make the proper conclusions.
No, actually, a good model is one party where you can masquerade as a two-party system and every 4 years or so throw the rascals out but still keep on the same track, right? Same agenda, to paraphrase the quote. Not to agonize, but to organize. It has kind of an Alinsky flavor to it, doesn't it? Workers of the world unite. Again, Marxist rhetoric. So hopefully that's enough of a backdrop. Let's go to the phones. John in Canada, thanks for staying up late. Welcome.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I had heard actually some comments today. It seems so incredibly relevant to the topic material you have for us this evening that I felt pretty compelled to phone in and try to make it really short.
Sure.
The great Alex Jones had a phone caller today, and he said, you know what, Alex, I believe in everything you say. You know, I'm a big fan of you, and what I'd like you to do is run for political office because, you know, millions of us will show up, and you're for sure going to win. Run for governor. Run for mayor. Do it. And we'll be right there with you. And it was very interesting what his response was. His response was, well, I don't want to do that because the elections are rigged all over the place. And not only that, as he articulated, he said, Ron Paul has told us, even if Ron Paul did become president, because he's a constitutionalist, he wouldn't be able to change anything anyway. And that's what he said. You know, and yet, so many of his shows all through this week and, you know, a great many besides, you know, we'll encourage people, you know, we got to throw the incumbents out. We got to get these guys out of power because they're in power. We got to bring in the new guys. He doesn't want to hold any of these people that are in power to formal arrest for infringing on our freedoms. No, we just got to get all these bad guys or all these good-for-nothings out. And yet, if they're really good for nothing, that means that if they're really bad, we should be able to establish a warrant for arrest. But it doesn't go that way. Instead, he pushes us into this game, mm-hmm. and yet he doesn't even believe in the game himself. And I figure a democracy, if the guy who would win in a democracy would be the guy championing a republic. You know, we don't want the people to decide whether a war is just or not. We want to know whether the war is just or not. There are, you know, justifications as to whether something's right or wrong. If we have no evidence, for example, the person's innocent, torture is illegal, and so on. But instead, Alex Jones has been selling, vote for Rand Paul. Now, Rand Paul, he might hold a lot of similar positions. But one example that he's given recently that they've quoted him about is he said Medicare is socialism. Well, socialism can mean different things to different people, and this is what I think we're missing. To me, any decision a government makes is a form of socialism. The traffic lights are socialism because they reduce congestion and prevent death. You know, and back in time, socialism was people would argue it was, you know, the government control public assets are in control of the government. So people have been calling Osama a socialist or Obama a socialist, and that's not what he's doing, right? He's taking government control and giving that authority to private corporations. So I think these labels mean so little anymore. I think the concentration should be brought on everybody having a right here. People are being cheated, and we need to recoup our stolen losses by formulating, you know, a warrants for arrest of the true guilty parties, because the people in power, they don't want to do that for us on any of these issues that are so critical, life and death issues. But, I just figured I had to call in and tell you this because this is what I'm seeing, you know, and it is odd, I thought, for Alex Jones to have said that. So we got a champion for Ron Paul to get into power where he says he can't do anything because he's a constitutionalist, and yet to be a constitutionalist would be to declare Bush a war criminal on all kinds of different fronts, you know, not declaring the war. But, you know, for Iraq, for example, there's no reason to bomb the country. Saddam isn't in violation of 1441, and we can walk the troops in there without firing a shot because we can go wherever we please without delay. And yet, he lied to us there. So, but Ron Paul's not there to champion that defense of those rights. He'll say there's something wrong with the Federal Reserve and we need to audit it, and you're probably well aware that argument's always been there, likely since the inception of the Federal Reserve, because we know they're scamming us. But he doesn't take a direct position and say they're committing criminal fraud. We don't know
that was actually the argument that brought the Federal Reserve, was to break the money trust. We got to break the money trust. We're still, and frankly, that's what Raj Patel is saying. You know, we have to get rid of the World Bank and all this kind of nonsense. That's how we got these things in the first place. It was Morgan who put out the largest PR campaign to break the money trust. I mean, yet he was part of it, and he was part of the Federal Reserve after that. So that system. After that, so absolutely.
Yeah, we get duped. We get duped on many of these issues, and I don't know the issue of. I know Ellen Brown. I heard speak with John Stadtmiller a few months, maybe 6 months back or so, and she'd given good examples as to how we've been duped with the going to the gold standard. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had the knowledge at my fingertips that I don't. But it was interesting where, you know, people think, oh, this is the answer. This is the answer. Oh, great. We're all back behind it. And, no, we get sucker punched there again. Oh, suckered again. Oh. And I don't know. I like the idea of the goldsmith in Christ's time where they're putting in 10 ounces of gold and they're getting a receipt back. And then all of a sudden the goldsmith understands that these people are trading those receipts as if they were cash because they're worth 10 ounces of gold. I'm just going to print up, you know, I'll be the richest. Now I'm the richest man on earth because I can print up all the receipts I wish, you know, and not all these people are going to come back and get their deposits. So I think that that's really what's going on now. We have the government, nefarious as it is, either socialist or fascist, it can fit either category, has delegated the public's authority to control, to have some control on our currency into the interests of private individuals who lend us money that they never borrowed us, but we got to pay them back for. You know, that's another interesting thing where people say, "Well, the money comes out of nothing," and you know, but it does come out of our hides, though. We got to work for a living. You know, it costs us a lot of money, so they don't cover our credit, but we got to pay them back, and they're like trillionaires. There's something wrong. We got to get back our stolen money, as I figure.
Absolutely, it's a symbiotic relationship between Congress and basically the Eastern European banking establishment through the proxy of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know what I thought was interesting is Frontline did an episode. It's one of their banned episodes that you unfortunately can't get anywhere. There's a couple of them. This one on Russia's situation. There was one on hedge funds, and there's one on Israel. I know those three are banned. I can't find them anywhere on the Internet anywhere or on their website. No, not even a reference to them. But in the case of the Russian situation, they had taken all the public assets that were held by Russia and put them in, the Soviet Union, and put it into a private bank. And then Yeltsin was convinced the best thing he could do was allow private interests to bid on public assets. And guess who's going to be in charge of all the bidding processes?
the same bank that's holding all the nation's currency. So the one bank that held all the assets of the nation made bids on all these contracts, made bids on all purchases of public utilities and services and everything else, and they won every bid. You know, so they stole the whole nation right in front of themselves because they didn't have to put down a penny. It's a private bank, and their assets, were the collateral they used for assets were that of the nation's. So they took private possession of all the public assets and sold them off, you know, destroyed, just got rid of industries, big, huge industries building some kind of machinery, but they just sell off all the machinery and everything. Everybody there starved, and people go, it serves them right, they're socialists or whatever. But it's really a bad move for everybody. We could fall into that same sort of trap.
Well,
you know,
we are actually down here south of your border. We're suffering. I mean, some good examples. You know, I mentioned the Goldman ruling. What is that? If that's not exactly that model, or the automotive industry takeover, or you know the financial industry situation. Those are takeover as well. I want to bring it back a little bit to the subject matter of the talk by Raj Patel. And we're going to have to move on.
Okay.
Appreciate your call, John.
So how about that, eh? Alex Jones sells us this system that he doesn't believe in to get the Democrats out and the Republicans in. How stupid do you have to be? You know, Boehner's position, was it addressed in this podcast? I don't think so. You know, Boehner's position was we should put a moratorium on all law, get rid of all the laws. That way the public would really take a kind note for the power of government to absolve itself of all responsibility to defend the great red, white, and blue. And Alex, vote Republican. Rand Paul. Fuck, the guy is an illiterate, an enemy of life. Says, hey, I wouldn't have supported the Iraq war. Why don't you demand justice today, you fuck? But he's, you know, he's a pathetic little dweeb who's fucking illiterate. And all he wants to do is just screw you over, make sure that you don't fucking win here. And this is the guy that Alex Jones sides with and reinforces his cult following to support themselves into a system he doesn't believe will win you your freedom. So, you know, how fucking stupid do you have to be? You know, the information is good. The philosophy is fucked. And he knows it. He knows it is. But he's screwed himself. He's screwed himself on this. You know, he spent all these years not allowing people who criticize him to speak freely. So, you know, he won't let me talk. You say, yeah, well, that's for good reason, John. You're a fucking genius. You make us all look stupid. We'd all rather die before allowing you to explain banking in 15 seconds, right? But he's condemned other people like potheads. He doesn't want potheads to ever call a show again. You know, he doesn't like liberals. You know, he doesn't like socialists. What is that? It doesn't mean anything. Like I've already talked too long. But anyway, let's go to another call. This call is really good. I was thinking of putting this call at the start of the podcast. But, you know, I got to save time. But it's pretty good. It's with Michael there. We'll check this out.
John in Canada, you're on with Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Michael. Yeah. Earlier on, you were saying you were talking about how some people might be coming down on everyone for being such a downer. You know, talking about how we're all falling real victims to ungodly tyranny, or maybe just tyranny, unjust forms of oppression to deny us our rights here to party. And then you said something about, you know, I don't know exactly how you said it, but you said something about, you know, the interpretation, or there can be a positive spin in the consequences of these fights for liberty. And, I thought of some really great examples, sort of, you know, with, banking, the big one, and I will only spend a few seconds on this, you know, with banking, it compels people to figure out what's going on. There's no money on the street, everybody's losing their jobs. The banks are clearing tens of billions of dollars each quarter, and hopefully people will seek and they'll find an easy solution or answer to know, you know, the banks don't cover our loans. And it's a really profound, simple thing that people really unfortunately have a hard time getting their minds around, but we're compelled to eventually face this. You know, we're paying them back for money they never borrowed us. They're clearing tens of billions each year, each quarter. They're not giving out any more loans. There's fewer and fewer dollars, and they're bleeding us dead. But I thought of another example, too, where you're talking about those light bulbs last week. mercury light bulb, what are they, the CFL, what were they called, CFL light bulbs?
I don't remember what they're called, but I'm having an experience with one of them right now because it just burned out and I don't know what to do with it. But go ahead. They got mercury in it, and basically is a major pollutant. But go ahead, continue your thoughts, huh?
Yeah, major downer here. You know, if the light bulb breaks, it can contaminate it as much as 6,000 gallons of drinking water to cause irreparable brain damage to the victims who happen to ingest such a poison. Positive side to this, but not potentially, is people will go, well, look, they said they wanted to do it because we care about the environment. This clearly is an extremely riskful product. Is there anything else out there? And in 1995, I can't remember who it was, but somebody invented what was called a sulfur light bulb. And Discovery Magazine at the time said this will be the greatest invention of the 21st century. This thing's incredible. And I don't remember everything in Discovery, but CBC did do a story on it about 10 years ago, and they talked to this guy. And I believe it was a variant of this sulfur light bulb. It's sulfur with argon gas. And he had manufactured these light bulbs that fit in standard light sockets. They last something like 20 times longer than a normal light bulb does, and they give off almost the complete full spectrum, including some reds and some blues. So this would be hydroponic heaven. We have almost sunlight wherever we want it with light bulbs that were highly more efficient at electricity costs. And we're non-toxic. So he was out there on a CBC special trying to get a corporation to buy his rights to sell this product. And it's stuff like that. Like, it's so close to us. And it was invented, like, in 1995. And it would save the world. And everybody would be able to grow fruits and vegetables in their basements because of the full spectrum quality of the light that's coming off these bulbs. But somebody somewhere doesn't want us to have that discovery. It's not really an invention. It should be more of a thought of as a discovery. I think that's part of the problem. We have all these patents on life systems that the person never invented the mouse, for example, but they say, oh no, I got a patent on it. Well, it's kind of like patenting, you know, the elements from the element table there. It's just, you discovered it. So, but anyway, I'm sure that's the problem. It's, you know, but it's so close that, all these light bulbs could go. We have a better light bulb, last longer. It's just as expensive, or it can be adapted to the light bulb manufacturers out there now. And it's, like I say, it's so close. What does it take to get that privilege won? Like,
well,
I don't
John,
know.
John, let me interject to you. The powers that be don't want us to have a light bulb that's going to grow food in our basement because they want to have the control of it. They want to, manufacture the food and put all the MSG and all the cross breeding in there with, like Monsanto. So, anything that comes out, I can go and give you example after example with the car that was invented by Tesla that ran on, ran on radar beams or something like that. Okay, and they destroyed Nikola Tesla. Okay, and I think about that every time I fill up with gas, and it costs me $44 to fill up my gas tank. I mean, we could be filling up our gas tank for free, but the powers that be, the oil company, the lobbies, they won't let us do that because they want to make windfall profits of it. Anything else you've got? I mean, you say you're going to put a positive light on something, John. Go ahead. Next one.
I don't know. It's pretty much a downer everywhere. But the answers are easy. The answers are easy. You know, these bankers are guilty of extortion. We want to arrest the 9/11 perpetrators. We have to reopen criminal investigations. So that means Bush and Cheney have to be arrested and acknowledged as obstructors because they forbade the FBI from pursuing, probable cause and nabbing actual bad guys. It isn't that hard to explain. Most literate people can understand what I just said. And no soldier would ever oppose me in public. He might as an evildoer try to undermine our abilities to freely communicate, but nobody on earth could stand in disagreement with me on that. But these guys don't want us to be able to communicate that way, and it seems so simple. It's not. It doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody. Their money back if it's stolen.
John, I agree with you. I agree with you. As far as, as I said before, the powers that be don't want that to happen. I mean, as far as Bush Cheney being arrested, John Boncour, was arrested up there in your country, in Canada, for trying to make a citizen's arrest on George Bush. It's not going to happen. So, the best thing you can do is treat it with a little bit of humor, if that's at all possible, because you know, the and this is the main reason I was going to try to change the format of my show last week and do it on internet dating and try to create some kind of a humorous side to it. But after the devastation that happened to me last week, you know, indirectly in regard to that, there's no humor in it. So, you know, I just decided to go back to the old format, and I'm trying to find some sort of humor in all of this. You know, and then the first caller calls in the show, talking about Mel Gibson. Well, there's no humor in that. I don't condone, you know, domestic violence, but then on the other side of the coin, I don't have any control of what goes on behind the scenes, you know, in Mel Gibson's home, and I have no idea what his wife may or may not said to have provoked him to do what he did. You know, so it's all a matter of speculation.
Well, anyway,
go ahead.
Just luckily, yeah. Well, for sure. I mean, all the corporate news heads are going to condemn Gibson before he's got an opportunity to defend himself, but none of those same voices will utter a concern for American women being gang raped by KBR, because KBR is a lawless entity. They can't be held accountable to any man in America. Because why? We can't speak out. They won't allow us to defend those women's rights, but they'll condemn Gibson before the facts are even heard. Plus, it's all-consuming. Why must we hear this every day for 2 weeks already almost, you know? Why don't you defend those women's rights another woman has come forward, by the way, you know, who's been gang raped. You know, we're talking in excess of 38 women. These are the women that survived. Many of these women have been beaten viciously, so we can safely assume there's a lot of American murder victims here also. You know, none of those corporate heads don't care about those women being beaten to death and raped, gang raped by KBR. They'll stand in silence with those 30 Republicans at RepublicansForRape.org who have taken a formal position to say these are lawless disciples of whatever, you know, I call them disciples of the Antichrist, whatever, they're lawless, who Republicans claim can't be arrested by any intelligence in this universe. And I think they're incorrect on that. I think it's just communications. If all men knew what was transpiring in our names, we would be taking action to demand our voices heard with respect.
Well, now, John, that's the first
thing. Especially for our women.
That's the first thing I've heard you say positive, because you said, you know, the truth isn't coming out. But the thing is, as negative as it is on alternative radio, shows such as mine and like mine, the truth is coming out, and it's up to the American people and the Canadian people to tune in to listen. People all over the world to tune in to listen, even though it's negative. You know, the movie is good, not as good as it gets with Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson. Okay, you can't handle the truth. Well, hey, you know what? The truth isn't all roses and peachy cream. The truth is ugly. And, you know, if you don't want to hear the truth, then you can stick your head in the ground and you can watch Oprah Winfrey and Dancing with the Stars on TV and be placated by the propaganda that comes out in mainstream. You know, I mean, I can't help that this is what the truth is. And if there's any kind of a positive to it, the positive in this negative is that it is the truth. Do you agree with that, John?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it compels us to save our souls. We're part of this equation. It's very, as you were alluded to earlier, I mean, people are losing their homes. There's no more cash on the street. The banks like it that way. You know, we got to get, I believe all these people deserve their homes returned. Again, people get a 30-year mortgage, you pay 25 years on-time payments. All of a sudden, the banks remove all the currency from our street, and then they foreclose on the house, and you get none of that money back. And
okay,
they
gotta
cover
it
so long.
John, I got to stop you. We got to go to a break. I'll hold you over. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us. Much more to come. This is interesting. I'm going to keep him on for a few more minutes, folks.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody.
All right, folks, we're back with The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, and we were mid-phone call with John in Canada. So, John, go ahead and close this out. I'm going to give you a couple more minutes. I've got another caller on the line, Alex. And so go ahead and close this out, John.
Sure. Sure. Well, like I said, there's answers. Eh? We have light bulbs that will allow us to grow our own food. The EVA 2 came out, electric car, a number of years ago. You know, the torque on it is unmatched by any engine on the streets today. They destroyed them all. You know, we have to arrest those people. Well, I don't know if we have to arrest them, but we have to put those cars back on the road. You know, there's a guy, kids in, I can't remember where they are, but they sell, cars filled with, batteries from, laptops. And it, costs, $3 to charge. That's American electricity rates. It'll go 100 miles at 100 miles, 150 miles at 100 miles an hour for $3. And, you know, so we have the technology. It's just these leaders don't want us to have this privilege. People think it's impossible. The New World Order rules the universe. And it's like one guy at CNN who won't let me speak. It's one guy at CBC that won't let me speak. I mean, if there's a couple other people out here given their all, justice could be ours. And we have to set priorities. War is the top priority because people are being indiscriminately slaughtered. So we got to bring these war criminals to justice. It's not impossible. This isn't impossible to dream the ultimate dream where we actually truly respect the rights of all people, not denying them an opportunity to defend themselves in a court of law. And lastly, I guess with Gibson, you know, we all say stupid things. He might even be guilty in this respect, but he's a great actor. We all make mistakes. Alcohol is a bad thing for everybody, not everybody, but some people who drink alcohol really don't handle it too well. And we make mistakes. I mean, why he should be condemned for the rest of his life and not, maybe, you know, go to counseling. Maybe if the allegation is true and he's convicted for it, maybe serve a little bit of time in jail. And doesn't mean his whole life is destroyed. They want to tell us that that's the conclusion we must draw. And, you know, lovers, ex-lovers, sometimes they get into fights because of other issues or whatever. I don't even care what the details are. I say that there are many more victims here that they should be concerned about in mass, particularly with KBR. But it goes on, as you know, and everybody else does. But I'll let you go, my friend. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Now, I'm going to bring Alex up next, and I want to make a comment. It's interesting. I heard a song on the radio just the other day. I can't remember the singer's name, but he was pretending he was alcohol. And talking about all of the stuff that alcohol has done in people's lives, good and bad. And I have to tell you, folks, that I'm a prime candidate. I'm a victim. I have had my moments with alcohol, as have many others.
Well, I think that'll be it for this week. I could add a couple more calls in there, but, you know, I've said my point over and over again. And you should be able to fathom that these principles are just assuredly yourself and what you should be fighting for. Also, you're fearful of who I am because you don't understand, and it's too bad. You know, God is real. God is not separate from ourselves, so that's part of the problem. I could talk about that, but I really don't like to because people are too stupid, and it's really, you know, I end up talking to myself. And when you're a god and you're talking to yourself, you really look stupid to everybody but, you know, yourself. So, but anyway, okay, God. When you pray to God, if you believe in God, I'm talking to, you know, the smarter people, atheists, you know, you can end the podcast now or entertain yourself on our foolishness as we discuss more serious matters about this universe of which we partake in an ever-present fascination with. Communicating with God is not obviously myself. I'm just a sentient individual. I'm a man, human being. I know of, you know, I'm not omniscient, omnipresent. It is a property of all consciousness that you are also of. It's like, sort of, there are treasures in the universe that are there freely for you, but you have to see them or you have to know them for them to be of yourself. Now, they're sort of like potentials always. Like, this is what we learn with quantum mechanics. And did I put that podcast in there when I talked about... No, I didn't. I didn't talk about splitting a photon. That's too bad. So I'm not going to include that in there. Keep you. You don't even care, probably. I probably got there's about 5 listeners here. You know, like that's the shame of our species to know that the 5 guys that did bother to listen this far. Hopefully, I'm trying to convince you. Yeah, that's right. You. No. They're all, the other 4 are gone. Now it's just me and you. Jeez, man. You know, if we want to make something better of ourselves, we should forward this information to others we think, you know, could benefit from this knowledge, because this is really critical stuff. But anyway, if you believe in God and you have a personal relationship with nature, as God, you know, whatever way you understand God to be of, the intelligence of this universe, it's obviously not me, right? It's not me personally. It's an attribute of who I am, but it's also an attribute of yourself. So a lot of religions kind of get this confused, because there's no absolute, really. And as I've, did I tell you in this podcast about things being right and wrong? Yeah, I think I did. So there is, all things are kind of true. Like, that's really wild. And this is how, you know, there's a singer, what's his name? Canadian singer. Oh, boy. Oh, his name slips in my mind. But he has a song like that where he says, you know, it's interesting how the songs can mean something very much to yourself. And movies are like this also. And that's the nature of it. And then you go, yeah, but I'm just, oh, I heard, you know, that singer about that song, tell us what it meant, and now I know I was wrong. And that's, no, that's not what art is. You participate in it. And we see this as a constant failure in Arizona with the right-wing Nazi fucks, the guy who's told us, what does that depiction mean, the black child in Arizona? And he tells you, or he says, or he's terrified because nobody's giving him an answer. And we have this in Israel too, where they tell you what this piece of art means, and they, you know, they haven't even explored anything of themselves to be so fucking stupid. But atheists, I mean, we all have to respect the rights of atheists. They're stupid, you know, because they can't see anything outside of their dumb selves. But we still have to, and I do respect their rights, and they can party as much as anyone else can. I mean, I'm not saying that they deserve to be mistreated. But, you know, they're like Alex Jones. Alex Jones, in fact, much of his philosophy is of an atheist origin. It's not, like, the state is God. Oh, God, isn't that horrible? Well, I thought you believed in God. You know, they say this is terrible. They want the state to be God. The state is God. It always God is a property of all space-time, an intelligence that exists not separate from ourselves. And when you seek out the knowledge of electromagnetic energy, that energy is a form of mass, or mass is a form of energy, and that's also a form in some really weird ways of gravity and time, and it's not separate, and you know, like space-time, you know, it's all, there's no delineations anywhere but for those manifestations of our mind, and and that mechanism, you can understand it. Like, when you understand that, then the game is up, or not the game is up, then it's a different, once you understand it, you can understand it scientifically, and then once you understand it, the universe is, okay, you got me, and then you're with God. But it's, they're still suffering. I have no real, you know, magical abilities. The skills that I have, I've worked at to achieve. Now, time to me is different. That's the thing. It's not, it is. I understand there is a timeless attribute to my consciousness that I participate with as not separate. Now, it's like infinite knowledge, it's like really smart stuff, but it's not myself necessarily, personally, but it's not separate from who I am. So, it's hard to explain. But I have experiences. I could talk about it. I did actually do a call where I did talk about it to some people that seemed to be a little bit, or no, they weren't interested. No, they hung up on me, didn't they? Or no, that was with Vail. I talked very briefly, and he just ended my call. But that's typical, I guess. But I don't present myself as good as I could, you know. But it's mostly, you know, I'm trying to get this justice thing happening, and it's ever present. Thing in the back of my head, like, this is the thing why I don't, people wonder, maybe, well, why don't you just try to push yourself into Alex's Jones show? And I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to have ulterior motives in my conduct. I have enough issues as it is than to have to fake my way through this struggle. I want to just be real at who I am, you know. So, and you know, and like I say, so I am a God, and yet there should be nothing in what I've said to you that you can't freely consider for yourself. You know, it's amazing. Life is amazing. There are so many amazing things I could show you. But people have no care for anything. Like, that's the thing, man. And it's got everything to do with communication. It's got everything to do with self-respect, true self-respect, you know, of which American culture does not have. There's no liberty movement or campaign for liberty or constitutionalists. Very few real constitutionalists. Now, you can argue, you know, some of the provisions of the Constitution might not directly apply today, but just the basic foundation of civilization is not believed by our culture. It's not true. Taught in school. This could be, you know, some positive attributes of the 9/11 situation, where if we defeat these guys, all of creation or humanity from this point on will hugely benefit from this exercise of understanding how we were duped. You know, Bush saying he didn't need any evidence and nobody shot him dead. Everybody said, yeah, well, that's his opinion. Well, that's not what a republic stands on. And as I said, I think, yeah, it was in that call, boy, there's a lot of mics here, isn't there? But anyway, I'm going on too long, and I'm very tired, and I want to go to sleep and get a nap here. But yeah, so trust that I have good intentions to bring about a better world. If you would just participate also in this dialogue and realize our lives together could be so much greater with me as king, because this is what I bring. I'm not, you go, oh yeah, what happens when you become king? No, I'm already king. Well, what happens? This is it. This is all I have, man, pretty much. You know, I'm not taxing anybody here, right? I'm not asking to, by force, you give me a portion of your wages. I would, you know, certainly appreciate some people that are maybe better off than the average to donate a few dollars to my cause here. Because when I win, you win. Truly. But I know, like, I've had these, you know, I've been trying this for so many years now. And people hold my life in contempt. It's crazy. And yet, look at how many people are dead. Okay? I tell you, there is a God, and I'm the Son of Man. It isn't something that, oh, I've just made up. I remember the birth of civilization. I remember how the universe was created, and can almost explain it to you if you really are at all interested, but likely not. You hate me for saying that. I'm almost positive. You know, you really hate me, because he's so smart. And you know, I haven't even sung. I was going to sing a song, but then I thought, well, you people are going to hate me if I sing the song really well, aren't you? Probably. And if I play my guitar, as the guitar wizard I am, I'll probably easily... Well, no, I'm pretty... whatever. You'll hate me for that, too. If I play piano, you'll hate me for that. If I draw, you hate me for that. You know, I'm just... I'm not appreciated for the great things I bring. And that's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame. So let's turn things around here and make the world a better place. Get back our stolen trillions, hunt down KBR to the ends of the earth to ensure that they're rightly dead for their crimes, put the 9/11 perpetrators behind, well, firstly, you know, we try them in a court of law where they get lawyers, and then they're rot in a prison cell for the rest of their days, as long as the wars have ended by that time. If not, they will be formally executed once they're tried. As long as, you know, if the wars are over, then we just put them in prison for life. But during wartime, it's critically important to kill a Bushite. You know, these Bushites who murdered police officers, for example, they were dressed up as Arabs, in a car filled with explosives, likely going to blow up a girls' school with those explosives. Say they were a Sicari or whatever. But we caught them red-handed, and they were broken out of prison by fellow Bushite in the military. Now understand, why wouldn't, if you were a real soldier in the American military and you had a gun, why wouldn't you put a bullet in the head of every single standing general in Iraq today? Just for that crime, that these guys murdered police officers and the American military through the Joint Chiefs of Staff broke them out of jail. Because they're getting the Marines killed, for sure. That's your enemy. You go, yeah, we called them Al-Qaeda, but it's not real Al-Qaeda. No, that is Al-Qaeda. That's what Al-Qaeda is. Alex Jones and me are in total agreement on this. You might call me names on all everything else, but Alex Jones and me are on totally in tune on this issue. That's Al-Qaeda. You know, it's nefarious criminal forces working to trick you to die, escaping those who truly did us wrong. And they were broken out of prison. And the soldiers say, yeah, that's what we do. Well, you will die that way. You will die as Al-Qaeda or Bushite or whatever. So let's change your evil ways, America, and welcome me home to where I should be, an equal contributor to the body politic. I want to be on Coast to Coast. I want George Norrie arrested. He's a fucking enemy. I want him tried publicly. I will be his prosecutor. He will get a lawyer, and then we'll see him found guilty so fucking easily. He knows these things. He knows these basic positions of 9/11 being an inside job. We were conned to kill the people in Iraq, of which he still supports today. You know, like that's the thing about these TED, just half of the guests that Alex Jones gets on. Like, fuck, do some research on these people. They're fucking monsters. And he treats them all like they deserve some form of respect to know that they're there to kill you, to steal your money. Go, no, they're patriots. Ted Nugent's a patriot. Chuck Norris is a patriot. Charlie Daniels is a patriot. And all of these guys have gone on and on about how they want to kill defenseless innocent families. To steal their money. To ensure that Bush and Cheney don't fucking be rightly convicted for the crimes they are guilty of. Mass murder in New York City of my American brethren. My American family. So, let's get it done for the Gipper. Okay. Oh, talk to you later.